Consumer Electronics Show 2019 Day 2 Highlights, Rolla TVs, VR Dreams, Dell Gaming Laptops, and more coming up on this episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadget here, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. And if you're new here, hey, do us a favor and click that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss out on a single episode. My name is Taylor Merrick. I'll be your host. Now, let's head on over and catch up on day two of CES, known as Consumer Electronics Show. So, first up, we have all the coolest stuff that has been unveiled at CES so far. It's in full swing this entire week at, I believe, the Las Vegas Convention Center or wherever else, and everybody descends on their tech startups, tech journalists, tech companies, and more. And while it's not open to the public, well, we can still get a taste and idea of what the companies are looking at for this year and products coming out this year, or prototypes at least for products coming soon. Yesterday we covered air taxis, a couple other stuff. So, according to this article from Wired, here's the coolest stuff that we've seen at CES so far. And by the way, if you're listening to the audio version of the show, that's great. But if you want the video to go along with it, be sure to head on over to either youtube.com/technewsgadget or facebook.com/technewsgadget. Also, all the show notes for today's episode can be found over at technewsgadget.net/77. That's 77. So, let's see. What do we have so far? Well, we have the Vue's XR camera. You may have heard XR is a thing this year at CES. One of the companies helping creators capture XR content. The term is just really a bucket term to describe AR, VR, and mixed reality is Humanize, which is here at CES with its new multi-mode camera. Vue's XR can capture a 180-degree stereo image you can use to create video for stereoscopic viewers like VR or daydream headsets and applications, and it can shoot a 360-degree video for AR applications. Essentially, two cameras in one. Also, looking at the Withings BPM Core, which is the classiest, techiest blood pressure monitor that has been unveiled at CES so far. It can take your pressure, but that's just one of its skills. It also has a digital stethoscope sensor that you press onto the side of your chest and another you touch with your fingers so it can take an electrocardiogram. It'll be able to detect things like an irregular heartbeat, valvular heart disease, and with medical grade accuracy pending FDA approval. It comes out later this spring for $250. Also, we covered the Matrix PowerWatch 2. Fixes the problem that this wearable watch gets its energy from not only the sun, but also your body heat. It also comes with the usual feature, GPS, heart rate tracking notifications. It's water resistant too. Now, can it rival a Garmin or an Apple Watch when it comes to fitness features? Probably not, but it will most likely survive the apocalypse and still keep on ticking and monitor zombies. I guess you'll see which one's bought into it. Also, unveiled at CES was the Temi robot. Usually, CES robots are a little sad, but Temi is different. Instead of pretending the robot can do a bunch of things it can't, like hold a conversation, the team at Temi focuses on the things that it can do. The Temi robot has 16 sensors, including LiDAR, that will help it recognize people and map out your home. With the tap of a button, it can follow you or go anywhere you ask it. When it gets there, it can play music or media, wirelessly charge devices, act as an Alexa device, and work as a video chat or telepresence bot, among other things. If you can find a reason to use the $1,500 Temi, it's a robot that may actually be of use. Also, the CargoSense Tracker was unveiled. This is if your dog is over 15 pounds and you can't carry your pup in the main cabin. It makes flying with him or her one of the most terrifying things you'll ever do. If you want to make sure that your best friend in the entire world hasn't been left in a burning hot cargo bay or on a freezing runway, the CargoSense Pet Tracker will keep track of their location in real time, monitor environmental conditions while in flight, and alert you when the temperature exceeds preset thresholds, too hot or too cold. Also coming out was the Sony GTK PG10. At its heart, Sony has always been a company unafraid of making absurd and occasionally delightful ideas manifest. Add to that proud legacy the APG-10, a big, bulky Bluetooth speaker with two top panels that unfold to reveal four/proof cup holders. You read that correctly. Yes, okay, it also has an actual speaker-related specs like 13 hours of playback, mic input for karaoke tailgates, an FM tuner, and ability to charge your smartphone while you rock out. But be honest, you're thinking about the cup holders, probably. Well, there you go. Also coming out was the OtterBox Pop Socket. By now, you're hopefully familiar with the life-altering properties of the Pop Socket, that suddenly ubiquitous smartphone work that grants you some extra grip. But surely, you're also at least occasionally annoyed by the protuberance. The Pop Socket is great when you need it, and then unnecessarily bulge when you don't. Enter OtterBox, the venerable smartphone case company. Its Otter Plus Pop, an official collaboration with Pop Sockets, has a built-in pop grip that sits totally flush until you summon it. What's more, you can swap in different colored pop tops to customize to your liking. And we have a couple pictures here on display for you guys. Also, introducing Fight Camp. Why would you want to go to a damp, dim boxing gym when you can bring the ultimate training experience to the comfort of your living room? The complete Fight Camp package takes up 8x4 feet of space and comes with gloves, wrist wraps, punch tracker sensors, and standalone punching bag. Inexperienced boxers can watch 8 to 12 weeks of tutorial videos or access programs to improve punch accuracy or train different parts of the body. And unlike most other in-home exercise equipment, it's just as entertaining for the people watching you. Just don't do it while you're watching Rocky, otherwise you'll get really pumped up and then you'll probably smash the TV, throw it on the ground, step on it accidentally, and then electrocute yourself. So, just viewer beware, okay? Also, Rehab Tech has been unveiled. A stroke is one of the largest causes of adult disability, and once you have a stroke, you have to continue rehab for the rest of your life. Flint Rehab's Migo, a wrist wearable that pairs with an app, brings together an ecosystem of simple, fun, and easy-to-use devices that help stroke survivors exercise their impaired side. We spoke to a stroke survivor who was there who pointed out she can use the Migo system independently and with one hand. She continued her rehab session while traveling or visiting her grandson, which she wouldn't have been able to do with a lot of other products. So, some helpful tech coming out. And finally, the 12 South Power Pick. As far as dual-use gadgets go, you can't get much more than a power pick. It's an ordinary wooden 5x7 picture frame that just happens to hide wireless charging powers inside. Need a quick top off while you're making dinner? Get in the kitchen. On bedside charging that matches your decor? Friends, Power Pick your life. You can even, if you're feeling frisky, set your smartphone's wallpaper to match the print. At $80, PowerPick ain't cheap, but its ingenuity is worth paying for. So, there's some of the highlights of the gadgets that were unveiled in the last couple of days so far. Let's head on over and find out what Dell came out with, shall we? Alright, so Dell, of course, the PC manufacturing company, was there in force at CES 2019 this year. And, well, alongside of debuting their usual line of consumer and business-grade computers, they also came out with new gaming laptops and specs. So, they kicked off its press conference, touting its position as the largest PC company, at least in terms of revenue, but it proved the point more literally when it introduced the Alienware Area 51M, an enormous 17-inch gaming system the company calls the world's most powerful gaming laptop. Other noteworthy announcements included the new XPS 13, the Inspiron Black Edition, new Latitude business laptops, and the Alienware M17 M15, which was unveiled Sunday ahead of the show. Here's a quick recap of the PCs and displays that Dell has announced so far. Now, for those wondering, the Alienware Area 51, launched under the company's desktop gaming brand, this new behemoth crams modular desktop-level components into a streamlined, though hefty, laptop. Dell has equipped it with a 9th-gen Intel CPU and 20-series overclockable NVIDIA GPU, which is about as good as it gets today, but the innovative part is that it can be upgraded, though in the case of the GPU, it's hypothetical at this point, and you'd need new compatible parts to swap in. The system starts at around $2,000 and will be available on January 1st. Also, the Alienware Legend 55-inch 120Hz 4K OLED gaming display. Remember the gaming displays I was showing yesterday? Well, yeah, we got this one now. OLED has a wide gamut and contrast that makes cars pop, so it's natural you'd want it in a game display. To date, the few we've seen have all been small laptop displays. Dell's new 55-inch Play 4K model, launched under the new Alienware Legend brand, comes with a game-friendly 120Hz refresh rate. Now, it's not as big as the 65-inch LCD models, but we trade off size for OLED's superior look. Dell says it will have connections to work with both consoles and PCs, and at least the display port connector will support variable refresh, but they really didn't talk more about it besides the picture that you see on the screen. Also, the Alienware M17 and M15 was announced, which is an upscaled version of the recent M15. The new version steps up to a 17-inch screen and NVIDIA's latest mobile processor, provisionally known as a GeForce RTX 2080 Max-Q. Constructing it from magnesium alloy and copper, it has allowed Dell to keep the machine's weight to under 6 pounds, with a thickness of 23 millimeters, giving it the title of the company's thinnest and lightest 17-inch laptop to date. Also unveiled was the Dell XPS 13, making light of the previous model's much maligned nostril cam issue, which I guess, was a persistent problem that kept nosing into problems. Dell introduced a new version of its ultra-portable Dell XPS 13, which it says has now been perfected. At the very least, the company seems to have solved the problem that plagued the previous version, which was a webcam positioned below the screen that shot photos and video directly up the noses of users. The new and improved XPS 13 puts a micro HD webcam where it's supposed to be, embedded into the bezel above the screen, and features 8th-gen Intel CPUs, up to 16 gigs of RAM, and plenty of display options. And finally, they unveiled the Dell Inspiron Black Edition. For its new Inspiron 15,000 2-in-1 Black Edition, Dell created a new hinge design that allows you to store the computer's full-size active pen right at the top of the keyboard. Drop the pen in the garage and then magnetically hold it in place. The hinge rotates so the pen remains accessible regardless of the position the screen is in. Close the screen to the keyboard and the pen is safely stowed inside. So, there you go. That's what Dell came out with. Roll-up TV. Who would have thought? We're dealing with micro LED, modular tiles. Now we have a roll-up TV? Well, LG said, yeah, they're going to be releasing it to the public. So, we got a picture on the screen of the LG Signature OLED TV-R, which is built on a concept unveiled last year, in which the screen retracts into a base when not in use, so it's less obtrusive. LG plans to sell the device in the US before the end of 2019, but has yet to reveal the month or price. Experts say the technology is unlikely to become a mass market proposition for many years to come, granted because it's probably going to have a pretty hefty price tag, and not going to be consumer friendly in terms of that budget price. It's a 4K set rather than an 8K, so you could argue there's a compromise there, but otherwise it's a very high-end design that's going to be very costly. So find a friend who has a lot of money, guilt them into buying it, and then at least that way you can still, you know, enjoy the benefits of it without having to actually buy it yourself. Just, you know, don't tell them that you're buying it for yourself. Buy it. I'll let you guys work out the details. The South Korean firm also showed off another TV that will compete with the fold-out model flagship status, which is an 88-inch model that was described as being the biggest OLED set to date. So, apparently also the premium TV features a soundbar built into its base that can be used to play music when the display is hidden. And the main reason why it's 4K is because there's not really much in terms of 8K, so they're probably gambling on 4K becoming more widely available first before 8K. Obviously makes sense. They are also adding that they'll have access to Amazon Alexa as well as Google's Assistant. Relatively few devices have worked with both the two rival virtual assistants to date. Speaker maker Sonos has notably taken longer than expected to deliver on its promise of combining the two into a single device. In LG's case, two platforms will be accessed via its own ThinQ software rather than directly. Its press conference showed a user commanding them via a TV remote control, suggesting that a different button press determined which of the two assistants was invoked. Samsung's new TVs will also offer access to both Amazon and Google's platforms too, though it will prioritize its own smart assistant, Bixby. So, there you go. They got a couple other pictures here. And then there's a bunch of other LG stuff that they came out with. But, yeah, roll-up TV, it seems to sit on a stand on its base and then just, like, retracts into itself. Kind of an interesting concept, but obviously pretty pricey. And you need the room for it, so good luck. Finally, VR dreams. Well, VR products coming out so far, at least according to this author, coming to us courtesy of CNET, feels like this VR is gathering dust. It's a dream that's gathering dust. In January of 2013, he used an Oculus Rift development kit for the first time, and it felt like someone had traveled back in time and given me the keys to the future. Back then, I expected virtual reality headsets would be as common as mobile phones within 6 years. I expected the technology would evolve so rapidly we couldn't keep up. The problems were so clear back then. Cables, motion sickness, weight, movement in virtual space would be swept aside effortlessly, and we would bask in virtual utopias, the likes of which our primitive brains could barely comprehend. Years from now, I thought, this headset will gather dust in my attic. I'd stumble across it like a historical artifact, like an ancient mobile phone, and marvel at its size, the clunkiness. Can you believe we used to wear these? I'd say. We'd laugh at the cables and computers they're attached to. I was convinced our collective imaginations would soar past obstacles. But here we are, 2019, at CES, and VR is an idea gathering dust for all the wrong reasons, lost in a sea of strange peripherals and pipe dreams. Self-contained VR devices like Oculus Quest and the newly announced HTC Vive Cosmos are en route, but it feels too little too late. VR has lost the attention of mainstream audiences. Now, is that the case for you, or are you still looking into getting into VR, or has the fun faded away? Hey, let us know on Twitter, @TechNewsGadget. Let us know your thoughts. In 2019, VR is a slideshow in a theme park, a marketing stunt, a slide in a PR PowerPoint presentation, a niche hobby for people locked in rooms with a ton of money to spend, and worse. No one really seems to know what direction we're headed in, or even what virtual reality should be, so he's kind of disappointed. The GAR article goes on to explain, you know, starting out, and all the fun, and all that was hyped up to be, and, you know, obviously the problems and obstacles that were in the way, but, you know, hopefully progress. Hopefully moving beyond that. Well, that doesn't really seem to be the case going on here. During a CES panel called AR, VR, MR Think Tank, a new group of new media executives talk shop about the various benefits of the different realities. You could sense the malaise around VR and the frustrations around its slow progress. The good news is that Facebook bought Oculus, joked Joe Canning, an executive producer at Digital Domain. The bad news is that Facebook bought Oculus. Now, the problem the panel argued is that VR hasn't been given the time it needs to evolve in secret. There seemed to be consensus where we were sold the idea of VR as a consumer product maybe a little bit too early, and in the context of 2019, that makes perfect sense. We're still trying to figure out how all this stuff works, and ideas seem thin on the ground. Everyone thought VR would be in the backpack by now, but it didn't really play out that way. At CES this year, products tied to VR seemed familiar and dull, and controllers, not unlike the Oculus Touch or PlayStation Move, and primitive foot controllers allow us to move in strange ways through 3D space. Predictable, yet necessary evolutions in software and online interfaces need to be coming up. Slightly more high-tech, perhaps, but hardly the game changers required to kickstart the VR revolution. So, seems like the concept seems small. So maybe we're expecting a little bit too much out of VR this year. Maybe we need to dial it back a little bit. Here's my opinion on it. I think VR is moving along just fine, but I think maybe to some degree the bigger company jumped on it a little bit too quickly, therefore kind of stunting its growth a little bit, but I don't think that'll be too much of a problem. I do believe VR and AR and all the R stuff is coming out. It's just probably going to take some time and creative new ideas and time to figure out how to solve the problems and cohesively fix them all together and actually bring a product to scale to the mass market at a consumer level that, you know, the people will be able to afford. So, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, let me know on Twitter, @TechNewsGadget, and if I'm right or you agree with me, let me know. Because I can't be the only one having these thoughts. I mean, I expected myself to be seeing a little bit more VR instead of this weird kind of in-between point that we're at right now. So with that being said, that wraps up the last article for today. By the way, if you happen to miss something on the show or there's something that you want us to keep you informed on, be sure to let us know on Twitter at TechNewsGadget. We also have a community over at TechNewsGadget.net/forum where you can hang out with other people and talk about tech. Now, one thing, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to tell a friend and leave a like. Actually, that was two things. Dang it. It's supposed to be cohesively one thing. My script writer is not present with me. I think he just decided to clear out really quick. If you're new here, he's my producer and pet octopus. He's usually here, but I have to find out where he went. So, that will do it for this episode of the Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, for the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news. Be sure to head on over to TechNewsGadget.net. Don't worry, we'll have day 3 of CES tomorrow. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys. I'll see you on the flip side.